The second book of The Lord of the Rings is called The Two Towers, but which Two Towers? It may not be what you are thinking. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive in nerdy detail into The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, The Witcher, and more. Welcome. If you have ever wondered exactly which two towers are the two towers in the title of the second part of The Lord of the Rings, you are not alone. And even if you haven't ever wondered and think it's all rather obvious, then let me assure you that there is not an obvious answer. Even Tolkien himself was less than clear on this, as we'll get onto in a moment. But let's start with why the second part of The Lord of the Rings needed a name at all. Because when Tolkien wrote The Lord of the Rings and submitted it to his publisher, it was one single hefty tome split into six parts. These six parts were just numbered 1 to 6. You'll still find those divisions in your edition of The Lord of the Rings. The publishers Alan and Unwin loved the story and wanted to publish it, but had a very practical concern. This was a huge book, and the price of paper in post-war Britain was very high. Such a big book would need a lot of paper, and that would cost a lot, and they would probably have to make it very expensive to buy, so some people might be put off. No, the clear solution was to break it down into 3 volumes and publish them separately, a few months or years apart. Build up the hype in a very 1950s Britain way. Tolkien wasn't convinced, so there followed a lot of wrangling and discussions between him and his publisher. Thankfully, we have access to half of this via his published letters and can work out the other half. The context here is that The Hobbit had been a massive success, but the Second World War and Tolkien's legendarily slow productivity meant that a sequel had been a long time coming. And when Tolkien did finally reach the point of nearly having something ready for publication, it wasn't what the publishers had imagined. The fun children's story of The Hobbit was to be followed by a long, dense, and decidedly more grown-up epic. And Tolkien wanted it published alongside an even more dense legendarium for his world, what we now know as the Silmarillion. If you've read that, you'll know that for all its awesomeness, it's not exactly easy access, particularly for those who might be expecting another children's book. Tolkien's publishers seem to have been quite diplomatic about this, but they were clear. The Lord of the Rings was risk enough, given its length and potential change in target audience compared to The Hobbit. They would not, at this stage, be publishing The Silmarillion as well, they told him. Tolkien flirted with another publisher to see whether they might be willing to publish both books, but he eventually accepted the publishing reality. He cut a deal with Alan and Unwin to include some extended appendices of history and lore attached to the end of the 3rd volume. If The Lord of the Rings did well, they could publish The Silmarillion later, but they would see how The Lord of the Rings did first. As an aside here, to their credit, Alan and Unwin did keep an open interest in The Silmarillion for nearly the next 2 decades once they realised that the demand was there, but Tolkien never managed to order all his notes into an order he believed to be publishable. The Silmarillion we have now is the result of his son Christopher Tolkien's heroic work pulling all those notes together. But back to The Lord of the Rings. Although Tolkien would have preferred the story to be published in 1 volume, he bowed to economic pressures and accepted that it would be published in 3. Still, it would be published, and that was a win for him. So, having agreed that there would be 3 volumes, and each volume would need a title — Tolkien did initially want it just to be called Volumes 1, 2 and 3, he was then asked to come up with, at relatively short notice, given a publishing deadline, all 3 titles, up front, so that they could tease them in the printed first book. Find out what happens next to our heroes in Part 2, The Two Towers, that kind of thing. Under pressure, Tolkien came up with The Fellowship of the Ring, The Two Towers, and The Return of the King. The Fellowship of the Ring he broadly liked. The Return of the King he later decided was a bit spoilery as a title, though he didn't use that exact word, and wondered whether The War of the Ring might work better. As for The Two Towers, well, he came around to really disliking that, because of this issue of it being unclear exactly which two towers were being referenced. To start with, he seemed to have liked this ambiguity. He wrote to his publisher Stanley Unwin, letter 140 for those keeping notes, that "The Two Towers gets as near as possible to finding a title to cover the widely divergent books 3 and 4, and can be left ambiguous. It might refer to Isengard and Barad-dûr, or to Minas Tirith and Barad-dûr, or Isengard and Cirith Ungol." which of course nails the issue. There is no one theme for the middle section of The Lord of the Rings. It covers a wide geographical area, lots of different people and places and concepts. So an overarching title is hard to come up with. You see Tolkien's concern, it's just the middle act of a larger narrative. So he suggested a title that could be left open to interpretation. There are, of course, lots of towers in Middle-earth that feature in that middle book, each attached to different people and places. So when you are reading different parts of the book, perhaps the title could reflect different towers, peoples, or places. When reading about Saruman, maybe Orthanc is one of the towers, perhaps in opposition to Barad-dûr. When Frodo and Sam are centre stage, it could be Cirith Ungol and Barad-dûr. At another point, Minas Tirith and Minas Morgul, and so on. That seems to have been the idea Tolkien was playing with, all very conceptual. But of course, people wanted to know which two towers the title referred to, not just a rather meta explanation that they could be whichever towers they themselves conceptualised at that point in the book. And Tolkien seems to have come around to this way of thinking at some point after writing that initial letter. Give the people some clarity. He wrote a brief note for inclusion at the end of The Fellowship of the Ring, which clarifies the matter. He wrote, "Here ends the first part of the history of the War of the Ring. The second part is called The Two Towers, since the events recounted in it are dominated by Orthanc, the citadel of Saruman, and the fortress of Minas Morgul that guards the secret entrance to Mordor. It tells of the deeds and perils of all the members of the now sundered fellowship, until the coming of the Great Darkness." So the two towers here are Orthanc and Minas Morgul. Tolkien went on to draw a draft cover for the two towers, which backs this up, showing two towers, the first black with three horns on the top and a white hand of Saruman symbol next to it, clearly Orthanc. The other was a white tower with a thin waning moon above it, a reference to Minas Morgul's initial name of Minas Ithil, the Tower of the Rising Moon. So the two towers are Orthanc and Minas Morgul. Perhaps not the exact two we might have thought, but case closed, it seems. Or perhaps not, because not long after, Tolkien wrote another letter to his publisher Stanley Unwin, letter 143, casting it all once more into doubt. He wrote, "I am not at all happy about the title, The Two Towers. It must, if there is any real reference to it in Volume 2, refer to Orthanc and the Tower of Cirith Ungol, but since there is so much made of the basic opposition of the Dark Tower and Minas Tirith, that seems very misleading." So now Tolkien is saying that in terms of the action in the book, the reader would naturally think that the towers are Orthanc, which is clearly driving much of the action in Part 3 with Saruman, and Cirith Ungol, which is where Frodo and Sam end up, just by Shelob's lair. But Tolkien also thought that, thematically, the best answer was Minas Tirith and Barad-dûr, Gondor and Mordor, the confrontation that was driving so much of all of this. So, in total, Tolkien gave us four different options for exactly which towers we are talking about, covering several combinations of Orthanc, Minas Tirith, Minas Morgul, and Cirith Ungol, as well as the more ambiguous meta-explanation that the two towers are whichever towers we might think they are at different parts of the narrative. Not helpful. Added to which, various notable figures in the fandom have variously suggested that the towers might actually be the Towers of the Teeth at the Black Gate, or perhaps Frodo and Sam themselves as metaphorical towers of resilience and fortitude, or, well, you get the idea. All of which brings us to the Peter Jackson films of The Lord of the Rings, which obviously also went with the three book titles as the titles of the films, which confuses things even more, because as wonderful as those films are, in adapting from page to screen, they did make quite a few changes between the books and films, with particular relevance here. For example, one of those changes was to largely ignore the presence of Minas Morgul. We do see it briefly when the gate opens and the Witch King leads his army out to march on Minas Tirith. Frodo and Sam hide, but we get a glimpse of an imposing green, spooky edifice. But that happens in the third film, so Minas Morgul didn't even appear in the second film, so they could hardly claim that that was one of the two towers in the film's title. Nor could they claim that it was Cirith Ungol, because Frodo and Sam don't get to that in the second film either. So Tolkien's official position that Minas Morgul was one of the two towers wouldn't really work for them, because it wasn't in the film, nor would his unofficial position that Cirith Ungol was one, because that wasn't either. Nor indeed would Tolkien's third thought that it could be Barad-dûr and Minas Tirith, because although both are mentioned and clearly important, the big struggle between them would be shown on screen in the third film. So Peter Jackson and co. decided that the Two Towers film version would refer to Orthanc and Barad-dûr, playing up the two evils of Saruman and Sauron. They even went as far as to do a Galadriel voiceover for the trailer, talking about the union between the two towers of Orthanc and Barad-dûr. And that, I think, is probably what most people think of as the Two Towers. It has the advantage of being the first pairing of towers that Tolkien mentions in this context, though he never put it forward as the definitive answer, and as the darker second part of the trilogy, so to speak, does work well with showing the twin threats of the two different forms of evil facing our heroes. But still, it would be hard to conclude categorically that those are the two towers in question, when Tolkien didn't. In reality, a straight answer to the question of what are the two towers in the title The Two Towers is actually quite complex. Initially, they were intentionally ambiguous, up to the reader to decide. Then Tolkien settled on Orthanc and Minas Morgul before admitting that perhaps in the context of the action of the book itself, Orthanc and Cirith Ungol was the right answer, or maybe even Minas Tirith and Minas Morgul, thematically. In the films, however, Peter Jackson made clear that the answer there was Orthanc and Barad-dûr, which is what many people think of as the best answer. As for me, I think we should just go back to Tolkien's first answer on this. It's ambiguous, and several decades later it remains ambiguous. Different readers and different adaptations can, and probably should, come to different conclusions about what works for them. After all, that's what Tolkien himself did. He always valued applicability over allegory, and didn't even want the middle section of his story to have a title of its own, as it wasn't a story on its own. He didn't want it published separate to the other volumes, so it doesn't surprise me that he struggled to come up with a title. But it was published on its own. So what do you think? What have you always thought of as the Two Towers? Let me know in the comments below. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link to my playlist on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.